news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. He did the fabulous job he could ever do, and that's Mr. Rob Center on the other side of the glass taking good care of us. We very, very much appreciate that. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic, author. Aisleseat.com's the website that he's very busy keeping up with this summer. He's a staff writer for Ranker, member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
Thank you so much for coming in. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Men in Black International.
I'd say that you can't make a Men in Black movie without Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, but obviously you can because Men in Black International exists. Maybe it would be more accurate to say that you can't make a good Men in Black movie without them. This is the first unadulterated bomb of the 2019 summer season, a joyless, unfunny, ill-conceived mess that's painful to sit through. Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson play the new MIB agents, and the story finds them trying to identify a double agent within the organization. Along the way, they encounter some weird aliens, a woman with more than two arms, and the most powerful weapon in the universe. Hemsworth and Thompson are very good actors, but a big part of the appeal of the original films was the odd couple chemistry between Smith and Jones. These new characters offer nothing interesting as a team. There's no spark. Of course, that's the least of this movie's problems. The story is so muddled and confusing that you might find yourself tempted to give up trying to follow it after a while. I sure did. The action scenes are lackluster, and the attempts at humor are witless. In short, this doesn't even feel like a Men in Black movie. It's as though the filmmakers looked at everything that worked about the originals and said, hey, let's do the complete opposite of that. What a dud. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 neuralizers.
Okay.
Now, it's bad.
A neuralizer is the chromey-looking device they use?
Yes, that wipes out people's memories, and I kind of wish that somebody had used one of those on me after I saw this film.
Okay, so is this just a money grab? I mean, the filmmakers know that this is happening as they're putting it together, or that maybe beforehand they knew it wouldn't fall together nicely?
This movie, to me, represents everything that's wrong with Hollywood right now, because you have these original three films, of which I was a fan. I liked all three of the original Men in Black movies. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones said, okay, we've done three, we're not going to do any more. But the studio wanted to keep the franchise alive because they felt that there was still money to be made from it. So they go out and they try to reinvent it with new actors and a new approach, but that doesn't necessarily work, and people didn't necessarily want to see this movie. It opened very, very poorly. So I think this is just another example of how Hollywood tries to just beat a dead horse with some of these franchises long after people have lost interest in them.
Will they get their money back?
No, this movie's on track to lose a lot of money. And there were reports that came out after the bad opening weekend of trouble on the set. Supposedly, the director and the producer fought over the creative vision of the film. Supposedly, the version that's in theaters, they tested two cuts. One was the producer's cut, one was the director's cut. Apparently, it's the producer's cut that's in theaters right now. The actors were said to have their own writers writing them new dialogue every day. So it was apparently a very, very difficult production, and it shows on the screen. This movie is just a great big mess.
All right, and it sounds like just seeing a different producer's vision versus a director's vision, it doesn't sound like that's going to redeem the film very much.
No, it's bad. It scored bad with audiences. It had a poor opening weekend at the box office. I don't suspect the worldwide prospects are a whole lot greater, okay. So my guess is that this is going to lose a lot of money for Sony, and it's a shame because Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are fantastic actors, and they do what they can with the material. They're why I gave it 1.5 instead of 1. I mean, they are fun to watch just as actors, but they deserve so much better than this film.
All right, so if you got time this weekend, it's not going to be raining this weekend, so the theaters won't be crowded again, but might want to avoid Men in Black International.
Yeah, the film to see is Late Night. If you're going to go to the movies this weekend, see Late Night with Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling. Four stars for that one. One of the best films of the year. And hilariously funny.
Well, give me a quickie review on that. We haven't reviewed it here, did we?
No. It's a smaller film, and it needs the love. But Emma Thompson plays a late-night comedy talk show host who is in jeopardy of losing her job. And she's criticized for only having white men on her writing staff. So they bring in a diversity hire, an Indian woman, played by Mindy Kaling, who also wrote the screenplay. And she works to try to help turn the show around, but the two clash. And it's a very smart film, and it's hilariously funny. I laugh from start to finish. And it has an interesting message about diversity hires. So it's, if you're going to see something this weekend, and I think they're cutting it down to only one show a day, but make it late night.
Okay, we'll give it four Johnny Carsons, right?
Yeah, or David Letterman's, or Jay Leno's. Or.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Late night.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you should see. Don't go see the 1.5, a 1.5 Neuralizer, Men in Black International.
Yeah.
Let's see. So what is the box office winner right at the moment at theaters?
Well, Men in Black was number one for the weekend, but it only did like $24 or $25 million. Probably the summer hit so far has been Aladdin. With Will Smith, which is approaching the $300 million mark and will probably hit that within the next week. So that has been far away the big one. Although Toy Story 4 opens today, and I think that probably will end up being possibly the, well, other than Avengers, although that technically came out in April, Toy Story 4 should be the biggest film of the actual summer.
All right, well, let's segue right into new movies. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Toy Story 4.
Yeah, like I said, this is going to be major. A new toy called Forky joins Woody and the gang, and they end up going on a road trip together. And the early buzz on this is that it's just as good as the other three, which is amazing. To make four films that apparently are all of outstanding quality in a franchise, that's pretty much unheard of. So that opens today. We've got a remake of Child's Play, in which a mother gives her son a toy doll, Chucky, of course, for his birthday.
Oh.
Aware of its more sinister nature. And finally, we have an action film called Anna, in which a young woman becomes one of the world's most feared government assassins.
Normally, I'm not too much into horror films, but I got a thing for Chucky. He's just so diabolical and lecherous, too. I guess maybe I appreciate that.
Yeah.
His character.
And I'm interested in this film because it stars Aubrey Plaza, who most of us know from comedy roles like Parks and Recreation. And Chucky is now voiced by Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies.
Wow.
So kind of interesting casting there. I'm eager to see what they do with it.
Is Chucky growing up in the little doll growing up at all?
No, this is not a sequel. This is a remake of the original Child's Play. So Chucky is still kind of as we knew him in the original.
Good. Oh, that'll be interesting. All right. So we will see that. Which film do you see today?
I'm starting off with Child's Play. I have to save Toy Story for when my family can go. I promised them I wouldn't see it without them. So.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, we'll get the whole crew there.
Wouldn't want to see it without them, you know?
Well, that's true. That sounds like a good film. All right. So, let's see. Entertainment news. Mm-hmm. Avengers Endgame. If you go see that now, you'll see some stuff you didn't see when you saw it in April.
Yeah, it's within spitting distance of beating Avatar for the highest grossing film of all time, and Disney and Marvel are desperately trying to get it there. So they're going to put new footage with the movie in theaters and re-release it back. I mean, it's still playing locally, but they're going to re-release it in more theaters. And we don't know exactly what it's going to entail yet, but we do know that supposedly it's all going to be after the end credits, because this is the first Marvel movie to not have an end credit scene. And supposedly there's going to be several more minutes. They said there might be some kind of tribute, maybe a deleted scene or some kind of scene setting up the future of Marvel. So the movie already runs 3 hours, and now it's going to be 3 hours and who knows how many minutes, but they're trying to get people back into the theater so that they can, you know, maybe take Avatar down.
Okay. And what this idea without end credits, what's the strategy there? Just another attractant, I guess?
Pretty much. I mean, Marvel fans, and I know because I'm one of them, we sort of hang on these things. people sit around through the end credits waiting for the next little tidbit that we might get about what the next Marvel movie will be or where the universe will go in the future. So there's definitely a high demand for all things Marvel right now, and they just feel like they can put a little bit more in there. Maybe people who have already seen it will come back and see it again.
You mentioned this week a man got stabbed at the Anne Hathaway movie set.
Yeah, it's a pretty horrifying tale. Over in England, they're remaking the movie The Witches, director Robert Zemeckis and star Anne Hathaway, and a man somehow got onto the set and stabbed a crew member. and was arrested for that. The crew member will be fine. It apparently was not a major injury, but they don't really know why yet. They believe the two men knew each other, but don't know why the stabbing occurred. There's no word on whether Anne Hathaway was around when this happened. But, yeah, kind of a horrifying story there on the set of The Witches.
All right. So that's tough. I can't wait for the film to come out. That sounds interesting. And then Netflix, their latest boast. They got a gazillion viewers now, correct?
Yeah, the new movie Murder Mystery starring Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Supposedly, according to Netflix, almost 31 million people watched it in the first 3 days. Now, if you have 31 million people going to see a movie in a theater an opening weekend, I can't do the math in my head, but you're probably talking,
house.
You know, $90-100 million, something like that. Nobody knows for sure. Netflix is very guarded with their numbers. They rarely make them available to the public, and this is kind of a take-our-word-for-it situation. But they say they count a view as somebody who watches at least 70% of the movie, and they claim that almost 31 million people have watched the new Adam Sandler movie, so...
They actually know that someone is glued to the seats. You don't just download it on your TV. They can tell you're still viewing it, per se?
Right, because if you have Netflix and you stop in the middle, you know you can come back a day or two later and pick it up where it left off, so it keeps track of where you were in the film, so they're able to monitor not only that you started to play it, but how far into it you've gotten.
We're going to have a conversation one day just about all the different choices on TV, the Netflix phenomenon, and really...
Hulu's making a run for them now, so...
Right. Amazon is still hard at work. YouTube doesn't want to just be you upload it. They want to make some productions now.
Absolutely.
So all of this is evolving. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan. We'll see you in the movies. Professional movie critic. You can find him on Ranker doing his hard work there. His appearance on WKOK sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.